The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us on the road with U of A, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, on White Mountain Radio, AZ Central, and on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. It is a great day out here in Southern California. When I'm done with the show, I'll head over to the U of A press conferences, Sean Miller, practice, and all that stuff. We'll put plenty of content up on the website on sports360az.com. Great to be here in San Diego with the U of A. In a few minutes, we'll go to Milwaukee. Jared Cohen with Sports 360 is actually in Milwaukee for Arizona State as we cover all the teams in March Madness. Even last night, Eric was out at Grand Canyon University, their March Madness run for the first time in the history of that school. So we'll get into all that. Matt Muehlbach will join us coming up in about 25 minutes, U of A color analyst. And I got a lot on my mind. Good show today. The Cardinals just made a huge free agent signing about 15 minutes ago that we'll get into that I think is a significant pickup. If you're a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, some big free agency news. I'll get into that shortly as well. Eric is back in our Sports 360 AZ studios. You were at GCU last night. And first of all, that was in a 1,500-seat building on campus.
It was. It was.
Did they have any room in there last night?
It was about 98% full. Like you mentioned, it is a 1,500-seat arena. The GCU arena is under construction slash expansion for the 2014-2015 season. So the Lopes took on Pacific last night. And basically what I like to call a nice high school gym. That's pretty much what Antelope Gym is.
Well, and it's break, too. So in fairness, there's no students there on campus.
Correct.
But, we'll get into that in a second. When we're done with the show today, is the plan just to go into a food coma at your house and watch hoops? Are you one of these guys who goes to a sports bar? Do you go over to a buddy's house? How do you handle the first day of March Madness if you're not in Vegas?
Today, I will go home. I will continue to work on tomorrow's show a little bit, but the TV will go on, and it probably won't go off until about 10:30. When my fiance comes back from school, she will likely want to watch some sort of reality television, so I may have to go upstairs to watch the games.
God. Just tell her enough.
It happens.
Just enough. This is one of those days where there are people listening right now at work that have us on one screen and have March Madness games on another screen, and they're just hoping that their boss doesn't walk by. They've got their brackets out. If any boss thinks that their companies are being productive today, other than ours, where we got people in Milwaukee and San Diego, then they're just kidding themselves.
0%.
Vegas today
No one's working today. If you're working, you might be at work, but you're not present at work, if that makes sense.
No, you're not present at all. I mean, my day at work, when I get done doing this, is going to be to sit in a basketball arena and talk to Sean Miller about how is he going to take apart Weber State tomorrow. And then I'm going to talk to some other coaches. I'm going to want to see Marcus Smart come out on the floor because Oklahoma State is out here. That'll be interesting. And Steve Alford is later on today. So you have all these great little angles. Gonzaga's in town. I'm sure John Stockton's going to be bumping around. It's like a basketball convention out here. And it's a lot of fun. They call this work. So we'll have that throughout the, not just on today on the radio show that streams, of course, but also online over at sports360az.com. Sports360az.com as we continue on. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports on a busy, busy Thursday, and it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, where March Madness is now fully underway. Games are going on. You want to swing on in and check the games out. Have some fun. Pull down on the slots. Eat some great food. Just head on over to the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. If you've not been up to the White Mountains, the weather is terrific. Head on up to the Honda Resort and Casino. I had some people asking me about Sunrise. Check out the Sunrise Ski Resort. And just get away from it all. The Honda Resort and Casino, again, just outside of Pine Top. So, The big story out here is for Arizona. They play Weber State tomorrow morning at 11:10 a.m. There'll be press conferences today, as mentioned, and plenty of content that I'll be covering today out here for Sports 360 AZ. So Antonio Cromartie has agreed to terms with the Arizona Cardinals. Cromartie, you hear the name. He's a veteran. He's played 9 seasons with the Jets last year. You're talking about tremendous press corner. If you're talking about the class of free agency this year, it would be Darrell Revis, Vontae Davis, Aqib Talib, Antonio Cromartie. Those are the names that you would find at the top of the list if you're discussing free agency. For the Cardinals to go out and get him done and have him opposite of Patrick Peterson, and again, I'm only going off of what we saw last year in free agency and the home runs that Steve Keim hit last year, in particular John Abraham, among others. You have to feel as though the upgrade in corner opposite of Peterson and with the injury to Tyrann Mathieu, to have those all together now on the back end of the defense allows the Cardinals with their first-round pick, in my humble opinion, as we sit here today, to look at selecting a safety, that would be the direction for them to go. So it's a good bit for the Cardinals, good bit of news to get Antonio Cromartie. Big story there for the Cardinals today. I've got a lot more NFL to get to. So Roger Goodell taking action against Jim Irsay. What kind of action is Roger Goodell, the commissioner, looking at taking against Jim Irsay? There's now reports out of New York that the commissioner knows he needs to do something against the Colts owner. Out here on the free agent front, DeSean Jackson looking at the San Diego Chargers. I mentioned yesterday, DeSean Jackson's an interesting name. If you're a fan of the Arizona Cardinals and you look at their wide receiving core and you look at what's gone on in a place like Denver, for instance, Denver is throwing crazy money over at players this season. And I thought it was interesting. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been talking about how they build through the draft, thus they don't go out and throw money in free agency. The Cardinals today threw some money at Antonio Cromartie, and yeah, it's a one-year deal. And for them to agree to terms with Cromartie is a big pickup. But are they done there? This guy's been in the Pro Bowl 3 times in his career. I mentioned DeSean Jackson because the guys around DeSean Jackson are letting it be known they don't expect him back with Philadelphia. Last season, they threw the ball to DeSean Jackson 116 times. That finished in the top 20 in the entire National Football League, but he wants to be thrown to more than that. Is this pure negotiating? Would Chip Kelly want him back in Philadelphia? Should the Cardinals look the direction of DeSean Jackson? Is it a need? Not necessarily, but Patrick Peterson, for everybody talks about how great he was on special teams, it's no secret the last couple of years he hasn't been as good. Do you need to have him on the field as much as he's been on the field? Is DeSean Jackson starting to become an ascending player or descending player rather than ascending? Maurice Jones-Drew, speaking of descending, visited the Pittsburgh Steelers today, left there with no contract. So that didn't go well for him, and the Steelers trying to find themselves a running attack. Over on the Suns side, and then we'll take a break. On the Suns side, 14 games remaining. The Suns beat Orlando last night, 109-93. They shot 50% from the floor, which should have happened. Here's Jeff Hornacek. His bench played very well last night in getting the victory over the Magic.
I think that was the big key. You know, we got everybody minutes. Again, we're trying. Guys are a little tired and banged up. Games like this can really help us in terms of being rested for going forward.
So they're a game and a half out of the playoffs behind Dallas and behind Memphis for that final playoff spot. Channing Frye after the game, down the stretch run this season.
We have to continue to be aggressive. We have to have fun playing defense and have fun talking to each other out there in the court and just go out here and play some basketball. You know, we've been one of those teams that's, just been kind of reckless, you know, kind of out there just, making havoc of everything. And I think we need to continue to do that and not play tight.
They host Detroit, a bad team, on Friday night. The Suns are closing in. They're at 39-29, 40 wins on the season. I take that. Goran Dragic had 18 last night, so a good win for them. There's a scary story in the Valley that, man, last night, Cincinnati Reds pitcher Aroldis Chapman, one of the best in the business, throws a 99-mile-per-hour fastball and then takes it right back off his coconut.
Again, a kid that had a great year last year for this.
Oh, my gosh.
Line drive hits Chapman in the face. A line drive back through the middle, and Chapman is down. Oh, boy.
Okay, so he's not going to pitch until May. The good news is he's alive today. He is expected to make a full recovery. He has a concussion. He had to have surgery to repair a bone above the eye. Think about that. 99-mile-per-hour fastball comes back off the bat, hits you above the eye. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. That's it. They're expecting him back May. And this kid's terrific. Just terrific. But when you see something like that happen, and he's still able to play the game, he's lucky he's not dead today. There's just no other way to put it. And the Diamondbacks are down under in their Australia simulated game. Archie Bradley scheduled to throw down there. They're a day and a half ahead of us. I screwed up the time difference yesterday, but I should say day and a half. They're 16 hours ahead of us. Let me just throw that. It's not a full day. It's 16 hours ahead. I'll get it right. On the other side, we'll have much more as we continue on from San Diego. Our coverage here in San Diego brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Yeah, we're going to talk about the U of A game on the other side and the stuff that's going on out here and the teams out here. Also, Texas and Arizona State is tonight at 6:40 Arizona time. Our coverage brought to you by Santan Ford, where it's all about you. On the road with U of A and ASU, I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
On the road in San Diego with the University of Arizona Wildcats, Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, on AZ Central Sports, on White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Matt Muehlbach, U of A color analyst, will join me from here in San Diego. Later today, I'll be over with the Wildcats, Sean Miller and team, out on the floor practicing it here in San Diego with all the other squads. We'll have plenty of content up on sports360az.com on that front. In Milwaukee today, sports360az.com's Jared Cohen joins us now for a couple of minutes. ASU plays tonight. Are there many Sun Devil fans in Milwaukee? Have you seen anybody wearing maroon and gold in Milwaukee, Jared?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit, to be honest. There were about three people on my flight, and I've seen a couple walking around the hotel. But these ASU fans are probably wondering why they just can't seem to get away from the color red based on Vegas last weekend and then based on the fact that Wisconsin's playing in Milwaukee this weekend, too. So red has just been a dominant color everywhere they look.
So it's like a Wisconsin convention is what you're telling me back there.
Pretty much. There's Wisconsin people everywhere. You can kind of see the arena and people walking around from my hotel room, and there's just red everywhere you look. They're playing right now in the Bradley Center, and the place is almost completely sold out, and it's all red. So it's basically a Madison, Wisconsin convention and reunion, that's for sure.
Jared Cohen is in Milwaukee, Arizona State tonight against Texas. 6:40 is the tip-off. Back to the Valley, that game is on CBS 5 tonight, so you can actually find it. There's all these other channels the games are on, but it's on CBS 5. That'll be tonight. Arizona State will win tonight if what happens? What needs to happen for them to win tonight?
If Jermaine Marshall knocks down his shot, he's shot 20.5% over the last three games, which have all been losses. A stat that I dug up that I wrote about this week on sports360az.com is in Pac-12 for the season this play, Pac-12 play this season, I should say, he is averaging 17.5 points a game in wins and just about 11 points per game in losses. So it's a pretty substantial difference of how this team does as a result of him shooting the ball well. And he's the only guy on the team with any tournament experience. I think they're going to rely on him heavily. So if you ask me that question, what do they need to do? They need him to get going, and they need him to get going early. No more of this slow start, falling behind by double digits without even getting on the scoreboard just at the start of game.
Jared Cohen in Milwaukee, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you, covering ASU Texas tonight at 6:40 for Sports 360 AZ. What do we know about Texas? I mean, I can read stuff and all that. What do you know about Texas in this matchup?
Texas is a team that has a similar makeup to ASU. They have some presence in the post. They also have some good guard play. One thing to note about Texas is they went on a 7-game win streak to start Big 12 play, which included four teams that were ranked at the time. One of them was Kansas. And then they kind of faltered going into the tournament, kind of similar to the way ASU did. They stumbled in. They lost, I believe it was 5 of 8. And they're a team that's kind of searching to get back what they had back in January when they first started. But this team is battle-tested. The Big 12 I think everyone would agree, was one of the best teams and the best conferences in the nation this year. They have the most teams of any conference in the tournament with 7, and they had to face some pretty intense competition. So you could go down the list talking about this player and that player, but I think the biggest thing for ASU to be able to beat them is they're going to have to do their best to keep the rebounding discrepancy close. Texas is a very good rebounding team. ASU is well documented to have their struggles rebounding the ball. So if they can try to keep that margin close and defend as well as they can, they'll be right there in the mix.
All right. I'll let you go off that. Rest up. Game tonight. Jared Cohen there in Milwaukee. Texas against Arizona State. That game is on CBS 5. That will be tonight. And he'll have plenty of content today tonight on Twitter as well, at Jared_Cohen. So you can check out Jared's content from back there. There's 16 games today. I don't know, as I've got to do some work, and then I'm going to watch some of the games, of who I really want to see. And I know out here that I do want to see San Diego State. San Diego State plays New Mexico State tonight. New Mexico State has, I forget the kid's name, Eric, he's the 7'5 kid, the center for New Mexico State that U of A played against, and it looked like they took down 2 circus tents to knit his suit together because he's so big. He can actually touch the rim flat-footed.
Yeah,
that's what they've got. But
the problem with him is he's more often than not standing flat-footed. He is not exactly quick. He is not going to finish on 3-on-2 breaks. He is not going to take his man off the dribble down the lane and pound home a dunk. But he's a big man.
Yeah, and you don't have any money going through the sides on this one, do you?
Oh, no. No, only in Vegas. I lay down a little green. Now that the tournament started, I'm back here in Phoenix. I'll just save my money.
Yeah, because it's like $2.5 billion bet illegally, but you're not one of those guys. I'm kind of looking forward to later today. Shaka Smart, I'm a big fan of his. I said that yesterday, but the more that I've studied up on VCU, I've seen them play a couple times this season. Stephen F. Austin's one of those squads that very good record at 31-2. UCLA Tulsa, I'm going to get to see Steve Alford and Danny Manning today. I'm sure there's a storyline in there somewhere that I can work in on this. So that'll be fun. And, you know, North Dakota State and Oklahoma, that game is of interest to me because I think North Dakota State, you got to find your upsets in your brackets. North Dakota State's one of those teams where I think there could be an upset there. And look, they may lose by 40 tomorrow and everybody will forget my bad prediction. But I'm keeping an eye on that, and also the Pac-12 to see how they work out. On the other side, we will have Matt Muehlbach with us, U of A color analyst. Matt Muehlbach joins me next from San Diego. Brad Sussmath with you, sports360az.com, on the road on AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, as we continue on a busy Thursday, the start of March Madness, the Cats in play. That game is tomorrow morning at 11:10 a.m. U of A out here in round number 1 against Weber State.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
On the road in San Diego, Brad Sussmath, Sports360AZ.com. On AZ Central Sports, appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic on AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmath, C-E-S-M-A-T. We will be joined in a couple of minutes by Matt Muehlbach with the University of Arizona Wildcat radio analyst, former Cat. I want to talk to Matt about specifically where are the downfalls. I wrote a column last night that some U of A people aren't happy with, and that is their free throw shooting is going to be their Achilles heel. They're going to have a close game, and I could certainly see a 74-73 game and look back on it and say, you guys shot 9 of 19. From the free throw line, and that's where you lost the game. That is their Achilles heel. There's no question about it. So we talked about ASU. Grand Canyon University, the growth of GCU, it's like when Gonzaga first started out. Gonzaga was this funky little name, this crazy little school up in the Pacific Northwest. What are they all about? And now every year, Gonzaga is one of those programs that you have to look at and that you have to acknowledge has become a player. I clearly see Grand Canyon University becoming Gonzaga. That has been what they've aspired to be. They've talked about Marquette. I tend to look at the television market size of Phoenix. There's not a program like Gonzaga up in Seattle. You have the Washington Huskies. They're tied into the Pac-12. They're a football, basketball combo, and people are more excited the football program than the basketball program. GCU does not aspire to do football, at least they don't yet. And so Arizona State can go do all the sports they want within the Pac-12. But as GCU builds, I see them completely in the same parallel. We'll be doing a show someday where Eric's going to be with GCU in March Madness. Jared's going to be with U of A or ASU, and I'll be at one place as well. That's where it's going to get to at one point in time. Last night, Grand Canyon played in their first postseason tournament. Eric, did we figure that out? You were there last night. It's the BCI, the PIT. What was the name of the tournament again?
It's the CIT, the College Insider Tournament, I believe. It's like a step below the NIT. It's one of these little mini, tournaments that teams that aren't quite good enough to make the NIT get invited to.
Yeah, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's Dan Marley's first year, and that's why we've made such a big deal out of this, because I've seen progress, and I know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't believe that they're going to have a four-year probation period before they get into March Madness. If they would be playing in March Madness, they could be playing in it as soon as, I believe, 2 years from now. I think they're still going to have to sit through it next year. I could be wrong on that, but I think there's a movement behind the scenes that they don't want to talk about, that I'm hearing about, that they're going to be playing sooner than later. So they lose last night. What was it, by one, Eric? It was real close.
69-67. They had a chance to tie at the end, and Jerome Garrison missed a shot in the lane that would have sent the game into overtime at the buzzer.
So they finished 15-15. Here's Dan Marley after the game to Eric on his first season at Grand Canyon University.
It's been great, and I was surrounded by a bunch of really nice kids. I mean, they were just terrific. Terrific on campus, terrific in the classroom, terrific on the court, never a problem. Had a blip in the thing early, unfortunately. Had to make a couple tough decisions, but the rest of the guys hung in there and did a great job.
So the loss last night won't overshadow a great first season for Dan Marley for his first year at Grand Canyon.
It's been A+. I mean, the guys bought in. They worked hard every day. Heart and soul, played really hard. The fans showed up. The student body's been great. I got a terrific president, Mr. Colangelo, a mentor, a guy who's a part of this, has been so helpful. So everything I thought that was going to be good is even better. So I couldn't be happier with our year.
That's Dan Marley. He sounds like he was worn out after it was over with last night. But a good first season. And when you look at where they are right now, and we're going to go out to San Diego in a second to talk to Matt Muehlbach. We'll have him join me here shortly on U of A. But brief thought on Dan Marley before we get to Matt. So you look at where he is in year number one. A year ago at this time, he had just inherited the program. He was unceremoniously dumped and treated like a piece of garbage by the Phoenix Suns, tossed to the curb without any explanation. They end up hiring a guy who couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag in Lindsey Hunter. They end up firing him. Dan lands on his feet over at GCU. A year later now, Dan Marley has some head coaching experience, albeit it's at the college level, and it's not at a high college level as of yet. But nonetheless, he's gotten some coaching experience under his belt. They have an on-campus facility that is terrific. They have grown their schedule to a point where next season, GCU will be playing at Indiana, at Kentucky. Next season, Tulsa will be coming into the Valley to play over at Grand Canyon University. Tulsa is coached by Danny Manning. And Tulsa, of course, is in the NCAA tournament against UCLA. We'll see Danny Manning later today when I'm down at the press conferences. My point in this is, when you're building a basketball program from scratch, it's pretty easy to look at where U of A is right now. They went through their down period after Lute left, a couple of tough years, but they've bounced back in a big way, and they're one of the preeminent programs in the country. There's no question about that. Arizona State, I still believe basketball is just kind of something sort of to do over there between football season and spring football. I don't see the commitment. At Grand Canyon University, when you schedule Kentucky and Indiana as they have for next season, and you have Harvard, New Mexico, Tulsa, three NCAA tournament teams, all coming to play in Phoenix on their campus in their little 5,700-seat bandbox, that tells me there's a commitment there that is going to happen. They believe, they say, we are going to be a Gonzaga 10 years from now, 12 years from now, or Marquette. I think they're well on their way in the right direction. I could be wrong on that, but I think it's great for Arizona sports that you have a power program like U of A. I think NAU's heading in the right direction. ASU, they're in March Madness. You can't complain about that. But the buzz around campus of GCU, to have four universities that have the potential every year to play in March, I'm not saying they're going to. I think it's great for basketball. Let's go to Matt Muehlbach now for a couple of minutes, color analyst for the University of Arizona Wildcats. I got on a rant there, Matt, because I'm just excited. I'm a basketball fan at the end of the day. And I'm out here in San Diego like you are, and I'm just a basketball fan. I think it's great that we have four options now in our state.
Hey, I love the fact you're getting up on your soapbox this early to start the tournament. That's perfect.
No, you have to do that. I mean, come on. I can sit here and talk about Weber State and how a 1 is never lost to a 16, and I don't think that that's going to happen again. So let's get into this. Is the Achilles heel of the U of A Wildcats their free throw shooting?
No, I'm here to tell you no. And, you know, there's been so much talk about it. It's interesting. You know, the worst free throw shooting team, I think, in the last 25 years for Arizona was the 1996-97 team that won the national title. And they shot exactly almost the exact same percentage. And you know, I've been telling people this for the last couple months, and a lot of people don't believe me, but you know, if the leading team in the Pac-12 shoots 70% and the dead last place team Arizona shoots 65, you know, when you shoot 22-23 free throws in a game, the difference in that is really pretty minor. And the key though for them is to shoot 65, which is not very good, but certainly a lot better than they shot against UCLA of 6-for-16. So, you know, could they shoot better and would it help them? Absolutely. But I will tell people on and on that the more important thing is that you get to the line more often than the other team. If you break this down from an analytics standpoint, you know, points per possession, if you shoot 65%, you're fine. You actually have a pretty high points per possession, but what they can't afford is just a horrendous night, like I said, versus UCLA. If they just keep it to their average, they'll be fine. What's way more important in this tournament, and it's been shown for years, is forget the free throw shooting, field goal percentage. That wins and loses pretty much every game. You can look it up and down almost every game. So if they shoot well from the field, if they continue to defend like they've defended, I think they'll be in pretty good shape.
When you get, though, into, because I agree with you on field goal percent, especially early, we're going to see teams that have lived by the three-point shot. Weber State's one of those teams that shoots well from the perimeter, or shoots a lot from the perimeter, I should say. You live by that shot, you die by that shot when it gets to March Madness. I think Arizona State's going to be one of those teams that if Jermaine Marshall and Gilling and those guys can shoot well from downtown, yeah, they're probably going to be in the game. If they're not, they're not going to be in the game. And I think, though, that when you get into the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and the Final Four, you can't have a 6-for-16 like we saw in Vegas last week, and that's why it's so pronounced right now. That's my point.
Yeah. No, I agree, but, you know, it's interesting. Even as bad as they shot, that was the worst. I mean, that was the worst game in the Sean Miller era, and I think for some time now. But, you know, what was interesting to me was, you know, Arizona, one of the nation's leader in offensive rebounds, UCLA did a nice job, and they actually out-rebounded Arizona. So what gets lost in the shuffle is, yeah, they didn't shoot it very well from the line, but if they had done what they normally do, you know, just from a rebounding standpoint, they probably would have won the game. You know, one more offensive rebound and a putback, and maybe they're up two before Adams hits that shot and they win that. Again, I'm here to tell you that if you shoot well from the line, it's only going to help you. But there's so many other stats, there's so many other, you know, possessions that go into a game, that at least right now I'm not worried about it. I could eat my words here in a couple of days or a couple of weeks, but we'll see.
Matt Muehlbach with Brad Sussmat, U of A color analyst, former Cat, joining us on Sports 360 AZ. We're in San Diego as well. Our coverage brought to you by Santan Ford. On the road here, also Jared Cohen with Sports 360 in Milwaukee for ASU against Texas. That'll be tonight. U of A game is tomorrow morning at 11:10 a.m. What is the Achilles heel, then, of the U of A? Is there any?
I don't necessarily think there's an Achilles heel. I mean, they're like any other team in the sense that they're not. I mean, we don't have a team in college right now that's incredibly dominant. In terms of you look back at, although Wichita State has been, although their schedule hasn't played the best schedule. I think it's just their Achilles heel is, hey, you run up against a really good team and they play well. UCLA was incredible last Saturday. They played really well offensively, probably their best game of the season. And even with their best game of the season, it came down to a Jordan Adams kind of fadeaway three with under a minute to go. So, I think they're in great shape. I mean, they've only lost, three games all year. And I think they're in great shape to continue this out. Four games. But I think they're in perfect position to take this thing. And again, does that mean they will? No, because we see higher seeds lose all the time. And I'll tell you that, everybody knows this. They've got an incredibly tough game if they get through the first one, which they should, but they've got a tough game that second game. And, you look at some of the sites on ranking teams. Gonzaga is actually on some of the analytics sites ranked ahead of Oklahoma State. And so everybody's got Oklahoma State, already in their bracket winning that game. But both those teams are very good. So that second round game or third round game is not going to be easy.
Well, and add to that, I did a couple shows out here in San Diego yesterday, and they, these are fans, and that's fine. They all believe that it's going to be a San Diego State-Arizona matchup in Anaheim next week, if that were the case. That's a tough, tough, tough matchup in the Sweet 16 for U of A, I think.
I was at the game in Anaheim a few years ago. That was the game where Arizona beat Duke in that Sweet 16. The game before that was San Diego State, UConn. And the atmosphere at the pond in Anaheim for that first game, it was electric the second, but for the first game, it was absolutely electric. And it kind of set the table for that Arizona Duke game, but the San Diego State fans were incredible. I mean, they packed that arena, as did the Arizona fans. And I was just talking to someone the other day. I was thinking, if both of those teams get to the Sweet 16, that arena is going to be, as they say, it's going to be rocking. It's going to be really, really fun atmosphere. And I, the other thing I'll tell you is I've seen San Diego State play several times this year. If Arizona's probably the best defensive team in the country consistently throughout the season. San Diego State is right there. I mean, we could have a 32-30 game at the end of that one. So it's just if it gets there, I can't wait. It's going to be incredible.
Is there a team you look at, Matt, out in the West region that you feel like, Brad, they're not getting as much attention, they're not getting that much love, and here's a team that I think can kind of jump up and bite somebody in the backside? Who's that team in the West?
Well, there have been some people that the Nebraska-Baylor game's kind of intriguing to me. You got some pretty talented teams. I don't hear anyone talking about Oklahoma. I haven't even heard their name in the West. And that's a pretty solid team and probably the best conference in the country. I tell you, the team you don't want to play if they get hot is Creighton. I just remember them playing Villanova this year. Their first 10 shots were threes. They hit every one of them, and they absolutely ran Villanova right out of the gym. And they got the best player in the country. So, that's a team that, McDermott is a complete matchup nightmare for everyone, although maybe not for Arizona. I mean, Arizona's got a guy like Aaron Gordon or Rondae Hollis-Jefferson that could guard them. And, it's interesting, but a team that shoots that well, if they were to get going and meet Arizona, let's say, in the Final Eight, that's a dangerous team just because of the way they shoot it. And, as we all know, we just talked about earlier, it's this tournament's a little bit like golf, the match play. You can come in and you can play pretty well, but if a team shoots lights out, you're going home, and you can do the opposite as well. You can kind of kick your way through a game and not play well and eke out a win. And that's the one thing I think Arizona really has going for, obviously, is the defensive part of it. as they say, defense travels. And, you know, that part of their game is so consistent. I think their big thing is, hey, you know, just hopefully they don't run into a team that gets super hot like UCLA did last weekend.
A couple other questions. I'll let you go. Matt Muehlbach with us, Sports 360 AZ. Brad Sussmat here in San Diego as well on AZ Central. Good to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic and White Mountain Radio too. Matt, do you buy into coaches versus players when it gets to March Madness? Do you look at matchups and say coach v. coach? Because and here's the point on this, because players are here for such a short period of time, yeah, players play, coaches coach. We don't have those dominant teams that we used to have. Do you get into the who's coaching against who in these matchups?
I think so a little bit. You know, the NBA is a total players league, and
yeah,
the difference in the NBA is you have a best four out of seven between, you know, two teams, and what's going to happen is, you know, best four out of seven, eventually the better team usually sort of imposes their will and wins that series, right? And so, yep, you know, I think with this tournament, and a great example of this, and this is the real uniqueness of this tournament, you get a coach that is really good, and he's got one day to prepare. And you take a team like Syracuse that has a really tough zone to prepare for, and maybe you got them on Saturday. So you come in and you're really working on your game Thursday. Now you got one day to prepare for this pretty unique, pretty tough zone matchup. And that's not easy to do, obviously. You know, somebody who's really, really good, who can break down a zone. I was watching Bennett from Virginia the other day, how they broke down the zone of, I'm trying to think who that was, in one of the ACC games. It was brilliant. I mean, they were unbelievable. And so, you know, you get a guy like that that can do that kind of thing. And again, he's got good players, but if he can outcoach the other guy, and in these situations, one game shots, I think it really does make a difference.
Yeah, and I think that's why Izzo every year is in a Final Four, or at least brackets, that people look at Izzo as a really good coach and gets the most out of that group. Then there's certain, I think Sean Miller's one of those guys.
And look out for that team. I mean, right now, you almost have to say that team, the way they played last weekend, may be the best team in the country right now. I would be surprised if they didn't make it to the Final Four.
I'll let you go off that. I'll see you later today and tomorrow. Matt, thanks for the visit.
I look forward to it. Yep, thank you.
Matt Muehlbach, U of A color analyst, former Cat. Always good to have Matt jump on board. A little bit more about U of A out here in San Diego. Our coverage brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Jared Cohen in Milwaukee with Arizona State. Plenty of content that'll be up on the site today, tomorrow, and throughout March Madness as the teams progress on. Stay with us.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Here in San Diego, Brad Sussmat on the road with U of A Wildcats, part of Sports 360 AZ's March Madness coverage. Jared Cohen is in Milwaukee. So tonight, he's in Milwaukee with ASU. He's not there just for a pizza or something. So tonight and through the tournament, you're going to be watching players that are going to be drafted or are hoping to be drafted. Tonight, for instance, is a resume tape for Jahi Carson. Eric, are we expecting Jahi to have a big tournament, or do you think the swoon of the season is only going to continue on for Jahi tonight? I think that the swoon is going to continue myself.
I think tonight he has a big game. He did not play well against Stanford, and he has struggled of late. And this is, like we talked about, Brad, this is when all eyes are going to be on Jahi Carson. And if this is his last game or a couple games at ASU, this is your last chance to impress NBA scouts before the individual workouts and the NBA combine and all that stuff. So I think tonight, especially if ASU struggles to score like they have at the beginning of games, your stat yesterday, they got outscored, 33-1 in the last couple games in the first 3 minutes of each game or whatever. He's going to take it upon himself to score, and especially if Jermaine Marshall's not hitting shots.
Because here's the other side of it. So tomorrow, Aaron Gordon is going to put his resume tape out there. I've actually heard from some NBA people that Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is considering leaving at the end of the season, which would be a mistake. But Grant Jarrett did it last year. Have we heard from him since? You know, leaving in the Ohio State game, the mistake defensively. We haven't heard from him since. A lot of these guys want to do the one-and-done stuff. Caleb Tarzewski, I think there's a lot of intrigue around Caleb Tarzewski. Does he need to leave? I don't think that he should leave. But around the U of A, it's going to be all about where Aaron Gordon is. I'm hearing Nick Johnson right now as a second-round pick. It's nothing against Nick Johnson. I think there's a size question about him. I myself would take Nick Johnson. I'd love him as a player. I've seen him make too many big plays defensively. I've seen him make very smart, heady plays, 50-50 balls. He's not afraid to dive on the floor for him. Defensively in the passing lane, he's able to get his hands on balls, knock balls free. He did not have a great end to the game against UCLA, for sure. But if I'm looking at Nick Johnson, he's a system guy. He's got to be in the right system. In Jahi's case, Jahi's size is going to be a problem. And the fact that he's been so erratic this year, that's why tonight, if you're an Arizona State fan, you can cheer as hard as you want and get so excited to see ASU play tonight. They're in the tournament for the first time since 2009, and here's Big Jahi Carson. If he doesn't go out, in my opinion, if he doesn't get 25 points and go get the 10 to 12 assists, then they're going to get beat, plain and simple. He can't have an 0 for 5 like last week. And defensively last week, it was as though he didn't care. That was my biggest problem. It was just like, where are you? What's going on here? Herb Sendek's going to be coaching against Rick Barnes. Sendek was under Barnes at Providence, so the two will be together. That's a nice little storyline. Here's Jermaine Marshall on what advice did he give his teammates about the tournament. Of course, Jermaine was in the tournament with Penn State.
Just to soak up the moment, you know, everything that we got going on as far as, you know, just being in the tournament. And, you know, a lot of young guys, you know, I told them it's great that in their first year you get to go to the NCAA tournament. Some people don't get to go at all in their whole 4 years, so that's a great thing. And everybody just soak it up, and you know, we go out here and we don't want to go home early, so just be focused as possible.
If Arizona State is able to win tonight over Texas, they get back into the tournament, they win their first round game, you feel very good about the direction of the program on one hand. The other hand is if they lose tonight's game and all the players that are leaving, Baczynski, Carson, Jermaine Marshall, you'll look at Arizona State next year and say, that's going to be a team that will be picked to finish near the bottom of the conference. I've seen their recruiting class. Eric's seen some of their recruits. They have a terrific point guard coming in from Los Angeles. I don't know if it's enough of a difference maker. I look on the inside of the players that are coming in. Jacobson would be back next season. Jacobson has gotten better and better, but I don't see him as being an impact type of player at the forward position. The one caveat in all this is Herb Sendek has now shown that he's not afraid to go out and get fifth-year seniors. Guys like Jermaine Marshall that are already done with their eligibility, they don't want to play in the place where they presently are housed, where they're presently located. They've already graduated, thus they're free to go elsewhere. We've seen that trend now go on in the college basketball game. Could Herb Sendek go out with Eric Musselman and hustle up 2-3 fifth-year seniors that could be impact players next year? I'm sure they could. But as we sit here right now, this is a team that, as I look at it and say Carson, Marshall, Baczynski, that's a really good, solid nucleus to go out and have a deep run in the postseason tournament. If they win tonight over Texas, and I have them winning tonight's game, I actually have them upsetting Michigan in round number two. Yeah, I do. And you're thinking, you must have been drinking something in the salt water out here in San Diego. No, I can make a case that Jahi plays his best basketball when the spotlights are brightest. Now, in Vegas last week, I was proven dead flat wrong. He may have checked out already. He may have already checked out and is feeling so much pressure on going to the NBA that he's not near the same player. I think there is that. Or, in my view, on the other side is he's going to be able to lift himself up to a level that we haven't seen, and he can get himself a win or two. I don't believe that this is a Cinderella story that's going to go all the way through the tournament. If ASU was able to beat Texas and beat Michigan and make it to the Sweet 16, that would exceed most everybody's expectation. I just don't think Duke is that good of a Duke team. You can talk about they have Jabari Parker. I understand that, but I don't believe that this is the deepest Duke team that I've seen. I think there's so much parity, and people get all caught up in the four-letter word across the team's chest rather than let's look at where they are and what they've done this season. You know, Duke is sitting there as a three seed on the road, and that game is in the Duke game, that would be played in the Sweet 16 in Indianapolis. That would be a terrific matchup for Arizona State to be on that stage. I think they'd have a shot. I really do. Call me crazy, call me goofy, call me wacky, but I think that there's enough there that they could do something that is unforeseen as we sit here right now. And you got to do that when you're putting the tournament brackets together. When it gets to the Final Four, UCLA or Florida, Michigan State or Nova, Louisville and Arizona, that's where it all is. Those are going to be the same teams that have been there through the years. We're going to have the same group in the Final Four. So I'm excited to see what happens for Arizona State tonight. I'll find a sports bar out here. Arizona, on the other hand, this should be a cruise game tomorrow. And on Sunday, I think they'll be pushed, whether it's Gonzaga or Oklahoma State, but I don't think that they'll be pushed as hard as some believe. We saw Arizona last week in their first round and second round games up at the Pac-12 tournament absolutely chew up and destroy two teams that were pretty good in Utah and Colorado. They weren't the best, but they chewed them up defensively. They ran into a game where they couldn't hit their shots, they couldn't hit their free throws, and so Arizona ends up losing. I think out here, disagree with me all you want, but I think out here it's just a matter of making free throws. And we'll have much more on our site, Sports360AZ, out here today with the U of A, and then, of course, with Arizona State tonight playing their game too. It's a big day in our state, not just those two games, but also the Arizona Cardinals signing Antonio Cromartie today. That is big news. That is front page stuff. That's a significant add to the Cardinals and where they are in this offseason. You put Antonio Cromartie, one of the best press covers corners on one side and Patrick Peterson on the other. Now you can go draft a safety if you want to draft a safety high in the first round. I still believe a slot receiver. You look at running back, I wouldn't spend a first round pick on a running back in this day and age. They get beat up too much. I think adding a pass rusher up front and looking at that side of the football, they've already added an offensive tackle. They've plugged in some places where they've missed on some players. That's a huge pickup for the Cardinals to do that today in Antonio Cromartie. Coyotes are in action tonight. Suns are off. Suns beat Orlando last night, kicked the tar out of them. Suns have Detroit tomorrow night. And the Diamondbacks down under in Australia. Archie Bradley is going to throw in a simulated game down there as they continue on in their postseason run. Again, plenty of content on sports360az.com. Appreciate you joining us day in and day out. We're on Twitter too, @BradSusMatt, CES MAT, White Mountain Radio, Arizona Central Sports, and on Twitter @BradSusMatt.